to know where the rope you are climbing to goes. When you get up in the morning and go, are you just being pulled by the streams and the rivers of life? Or perhaps you are running from the troubles of life. What makes you get up and go in the morning? The ropes that we climb each day are not agnostic. They all lead to somewhere. Let's read Psalm 1 together. Well, I will read Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And all of God's people said, Amen.
Amen.
The psalmist is one who understands how to grow, how to climb the rope that leads to life, the life where no leaves wither, not even in the fall. There's no change of color. It is steady. It is growth. It is alive. You would think this psalmist was a realtor. It seems to be all about location. Location, location, location. But he points out that the best place to grow and to thrive is to be planted by that stream of water. And so, what is that stream of water? What is that meant to portray? The man is the tree, the stream is the law of the Lord. And as most streams flow perpetually and water the roots of the adjacent trees, so does the law of God. It perpetuates to feed us and satisfy the soul of a man who delights therein. This tree is set up to succeed. This tree is set up to prosper and grow. This tree is set up to bear fruit in season. And keep growing and keep bearing fruit in season. What would stop this tree from growing and prospering? There's four things the psalmist mentions. Being without the law of God. We can infer that since he prospers by delighting in the law of God, we can infer that without it, he will wither and die. And I want to emphasize, this is God's law. This is not man's law. This is not, I'm not talking about legalism that makes certain applications laws themselves. We cannot add to or take away from the law of God. The second thing is walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Are you influenced by non-Christians or do you influence? Thirdly, standing in the way of sinners. Do you find yourself commingling with darkness, wearing the same clothes, listening to the same music, playing the same games, etc., etc.? There is a difference between going to a bar for a beer and coming over to my house for one. Fourthly, sitting in the seat of the scornful. Notice the progression here. Walking, standing, sitting. A slippery slope. What is your view of the law of God? You know, when I am driving home and I see that speed limit sign, it's 50 miles per hour on my road, and I don't just look at that sign with great joy and delight in it. Oh, how love I thy law. I think it should be more like 60 or 70, but in any event, when I consider that law actually loves me, that law actually helps me to love my neighbor, I have to admit I delight in it more. Yes, that law actually loves me. In some roads, there are children near the streets. In our roads, there are lots of deer. There are sharp turns. You have to go slow because of these things. Did you know that over 150 people die every year from hitting a deer? Over 10,000 people every year in America are injured from hitting a deer. We spend over $1 billion annually repairing vehicles damaged from deer. Deer, not elk, just deer. So you can see how it's loving to tell me to slow down a little bit so that maybe I won't be so hurt when I do hit the deer. And I do hit deer. That 35-mile-per-hour law is setting me up to prosper when there's a deer around the bend or one jumps out of the road. The law is loving me, even when I do not consider and understand for protection. So sometimes we read the law, but we don't understand it in the fullness of its application. But yet, it does love us the same. The law of God is the basis for speed limit signs. God's law is loving and even merciful, even gracious to us as it protects us and prospers us. Because had it my way, I could be injured right now. So, I'm thankful for that speed limit sign. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but shall meditate on it therein day and night. And thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Who does not want to prosper? Who does not want to have good success? Why do we shake our fists at the law of God? You know, it's interesting, because the law, Jesus sets us free from the law. But he sets us free really from sin, from disobeying the law. We are now free to obey God's law. We are free to do good because we are not bound up with sin. So in application, where do you want to be on the rope? I trust it's climbing. I trust everybody here wants to climb the rope of life. Not to slip and get rope burned. Not to just hang on for dear life. But you know, we need to climb and climb as we are climbing to the Lord, to the one who will give us rest, eternal rest. You know, you and I are going to look at each other in 50 years and say, what just happened? How many weddings will occur in 50 years? What just happened? Where are you climbing? Do you know where you're climbing? We must do what we can to set ourselves up to succeed, to set ourselves up to prosper. So number one, in order to grow and have good success, it requires the avoidance of evil. We need more training and discernment between what is good and evil, and I trust that you are all teaching your children that which is good and that which is evil, teaching your children to be discerning. Exercising good judgment. Sometimes we get a little cozy with the ways of the ungodly. We start by walking with them, and then we stop, and we talk to them, and then we sit down with the scoffer. We sit in their seat, and we must do what we can to avoid that. Number two, in order to grow and have good success, it requires that we are planted by the streams of water. That we delight in the law of God. We need to change our views on the law of God. It is not meant to be restrictive and to take life away from us. But the law of God is actually life-giving. It actually preserves life. It protects life. It makes life better. It makes life more rich. And this law, these laws herein, were given to you by your Heavenly Father who loves you and sacrificed His only Son for you. So we ought to think that He knows a thing or two about this. And as Sergeant York would say, I got to get me some of that bottom land. Get you some bottom land. Get you some bottom land where the soil is good, the water is deep and fluent, and where there are no rocks to tear up your plow. And one more thing, can I ask you, as we have opportunity, a long opportunity to fellowship this afternoon, could I ask you to dig into each other's lives a little bit and ask how you might encourage one another toward climbing that rope toward the Lord our God? Let's be a body and help one another. And let me remind you of this passage in Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And the day is approaching. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you as a people who are embarrassed as we have shaken our fists at you. For Father, you love us. You guide us. You seek to protect us. You sustain us. You provided the bit of food that we received this morning. Father, you cared for us all each this morning. Even as we traveled here, you protected us, Lord. You saw fit to preserve us. Father, help us that we would not be a people who shake our fists at you, but Father, that we would be a people who delight in you and in your ways. Father, help us to be ones who love to meditate on your word and love to consider how we might bring you much glory and how we might trust you more. Father, forgive us as we are a people who turn from you. Father, we misapply your law, or Father, we say that your law doesn't apply here or there. We act as dualists. Father, help us to be ones that we might be helpful in seeing your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to be salt and light. Father, grow us in great faith. And Father, now we confess our own sins to you.